Last week on the show, you heard us talking with a couple of election law experts about the package of election changes working their way through Michigan State Legislature. Here with us to talk more about the intent of this 39-bill package is State Senator Ed McBroom, Republican representing Michigan's 38th District, comprised of several counties in the Upper Peninsula. He sponsored some of the bills, and he also chairs the Senate Oversight Committee, which has some jurisdiction over election matters. Senator McBroom, welcome to Stateside.
Yeah, thank you so much. It's good to be with you.
You know, given what was going on with the pandemic, we spoke with local clerks from around the state before the election, during election season, and after the election. And many of the clerks that we spoke to, including a number of elected Republicans, felt like the legislature had ignored some things they had asked for specifically to help process absentee ballots. Why wasn't that issue a tentpole of this bill package?
Well, it is. I mean, there was a earlier bill that we did pass to give them additional time before the election, but it had a sunset on it. And there's a bill in this package that removes that sunset to keep that going. And there's a lot of discussion on having amendments to it right away to extend the population thresholds to allow more counties to participate in that advance opportunity. There's also a bill that allows an early voting day, which applies to everyone around the state, that would also alleviate a significant amount of the pressure that they're feeling on processing ballots.
So that may be that there is an extra day, but it certainly looks like these bills limit many aspects of access, even with absentee voting. There's a bill that limits the hours you can put ballots in the drop box. There is one bill that says you have to buy your own postage to mail your ballot, no matter if your clerk wants to buy it for you. In terms of registration for voting, there's a bill that requires photo IDs to register. We know that that makes it harder for disenfranchised people who may not have easy access to the documents they need to get a photo ID. And another bill requiring anybody who wants to vote absentee to present a photo ID. I mean, the cumulative effect certainly does seem to be strengthening the laws rather than providing more access.
No, I would push back on that analysis very strongly. You know, when you talk about postage, we've never done postage on these things before. I mean, that hasn't been allowed. So this isn't something new. We've always in the past required folks to make an application to get their ballot, to be active participants in that, until this last election when our Secretary of State interpreted proposals 2 and 3 to give her that authority, which nobody saw in props 2 or 3 when they voted on them. And so, you know, to say that, you know, you're presuming that there's certain groups of people who can't get photo IDs, well, this bill says the state will provide them for free. So I really push back on the idea that somehow this is creating more restrictions rather than more access. When you couple it with the greater allowance for early voting, the greater access for military personnel, there is a good balance here of both additional access and more robust security for the integrity of the vote, especially on it by simply not allowing there to be further creep on where we're going with those things, such as the signature process, which was really roundly attacked under the Secretary of State in this last election.
What do you mean by creep?
I'm saying that you see various parts of our election security, whether it's the applying for a ballot, whether it's the signature process, whether it's the ID process, all of these things, the Secretary of State has been incrementally rolling those security measures back to the point where they're almost null and void and meaningless.
Why are photo IDs necessary, in your view, when one is registering to vote?
Well, why are photo IDs necessary when you go to get on an airplane or go to your bank to get your money?
My understanding is that a voter ID application is something that can be checked later, whereas when you're getting ready to walk on that airplane, you either are that person or you aren't, and there's not a lot of time to make the determination.
So if we get rid of signatures and we get rid of the process to make sure that you apply for your application and we get rid of photo ID, what security measure will you have left for absentee ballots?
Is it? I mean, this whole discussion about security measures.
That? I mean,
oh, I'm sorry. Please.
I don't see how you can't answer that. You're asking me a question, but you're not going to answer that. You're asking me a question that I can only answer to you by asking why you don't believe what I'm telling you, and you're not answering my question. So I'm not sure where to go from there.
Sorry, what was the question again?
Well, if we're getting rid of signatures, or we're eliminating any significant process for checking them, if we're eliminating the process that somebody has to call in or apply to get their application or get on a permanent list to get it, and we're going to get rid of photo IDs, what security measures do you still have in place to maintain the sanctity of the ballot? You say, well, we don't need photo ID because we've still got something else, but we're attacking all of those other things too in this last election. So what's left if we don't still have photo ID?
Well, clerks do have processes of verifying people who are applying for an absentee ballot. That's what they do every day when somebody sends in an application to apply absentee if they're overseas.
But my point is, if you're saying, well, we've got these other measures, but my point is we're also attacking those very other measures. And so which measure would you like to keep if we're not going to keep photo ID, which we already have?
Well, we do have, like I said, there are procedures that the clerks have that they say are adequate for the kind of verification that their offices do every day.
But those procedures are under attack, too, is my point. And so if we attack all of the procedures and don't have anything left, then that just seems kind of silly. And we only have really three significant ways to protect the integrity. We have the voter ID, we have the signature, and we have the application process. What other methods really are there?
Can you tell us a little bit more about the part of the package that does refer to a 5 o'clock day before election day deadline for final drops in ballot drop boxes?
Yeah, thank you. That's one of my bills in the package too, and it's something that goes right along with what you were saying about how so many of the clerks are talking about their workload and various things. And what we found in the big counties that have an absentee counting board, such as Wayne or Kent, Oakland, they're sending around many employees after 8 o'clock at night on Tuesday, collecting tens of thousands of ballots from these drop boxes. They have to bring them back, process them all, then take them and load them back up, drive them to the counting board where they unpack them all, distribute them, and then tabulate them. It ends up taking lots and lots of hours and manpower. And my thought was simply that if we say on election day, hey, if you've got enough energy to walk up to the drop box, could we ask that you walk into the building and hand it to someone so they can start processing it right away? And whether we make an amendment that says, hey, they're going to close at noon on election day or 5 o'clock on election day, but give the poll workers and the clerk's staff time to start working on these before it's midnight or 1 a.m.
I thought it was interesting, though, that the clerks didn't ask for a closure of the drop boxes. What they asked for was more time to process, which I think has sunset. Does your part of this bill also allow them to start processing those absentee ballots early?
So that's not in my bill. That's in a different one. But yes, there is a bill that would allow them to continue to begin processing on Monday. There's people like me who'd like to see that expanded and give them even more time, and certainly be advocating for that as we go into the process, as we begin discussing the bills.
We learned that there's a difference between opening the ballot and preparing it for processing and actually processing and tabulating it. Is that part of the plan this time going forward?
Yes, I believe so. If you don't tabulate them right away, then you have to maintain these ballots that have been potentially removed from their identifying sleeve and left in their secrecy sleeve in a position where they might not be as securely maintained. And so a lot of members that I work with would rather we just got them tabulated right away and maintain the security on the machines rather than trying to also maintain the security on untabulated ballots that have been removed from their mailing envelope.
The clerk in Antrim County is a Republican named Cheryl Guy, and her department became the focus of national attention last November because of a human error. It was something that she was able to catch and correct quickly, but Cheryl Guy has really been flamed for this on a national scale, and she's actually the target of a lawsuit right now, too. And she told the Record Eagle that she was concerned about elected office holders' role sowing distrust in elections. And she said, quote, "People don't know or don't care how you explain things, but that they're trying to find something deeper." What's your reaction to that?
Well, I mean, I would certainly agree with what Ms. Guy is saying. I think that it has become very difficult, and she has been treated very unfairly. And I've a lot of respect for how she's held in there throughout all this. A lot of people might have just quit and tossed in the towel. She made a bad mistake. She owned up to it right away and has worked very hard to show that nothing in her mistake actually violated the security of the ballots or the counting. And I appreciate how hard she's worked, and she's exactly right. It is challenging for elected people on either side right now. And I'm not trying to sing a sad song, but many citizens, if they don't hear the answer they want, simply move to another politician who will give them that answer, whether that person even is in a position to do so or not. And, whether it's through social media or other things, misinformation right now is alive and well. And there's no one person out there that can somehow rise above it all and give us a clear answer that everyone will respect. And it's a difficult time for truth right now.
If the standards that local clerks are held to include all of the changes in these bills, the new rules and mandates, including live video for election inspectors, new regulation for clerk notifications of voter deaths, not just once, but like 5 consecutive weeks before the election. If they're looking at the new rules, if they're looking at what happened to Cheryl Guy, is anybody going to want to serve as a local election official in Michigan?
Well, I think that that's a great question. And, it's certainly, whether you're talking about people who want to run for Congress or the president or down to your local township trustee, there are many people for decades who've made the decision, I can't deal with that hassle. It's a bad impact on my family. It'd be a bad impact on my business, whatever it is. And a lot of good people stay away from serving because of those things. And I don't think that that's new. That's the way it's been for a long time.
Senator McBroom, thank you for taking some time to talk with us.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. Thank you.